Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots round your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Amen.
Thanks, Louise. We're looking for a few weeks at passages relating to Old Testament wisdom and poetry, and our psalm this week fits into that wisdom tradition. As Louise said in introducing it, it's one of the group of psalms that are known as the Psalms of Ascent, and they're so called because they were the songs that were sung by the people of Israel as they went up to Jerusalem to the temple for the great worship festivals of the Jewish year. Last week, we looked at a psalm that described that journey, a psalm that spoke of the joy the psalmist felt in going to worship God, but of the difficult places of the journey where people needed to seek strength from God, and of the togetherness of the people as they journeyed, helping and encouraging one another on the way. And as they travelled together to Jerusalem for these great feasts, they sang these songs. Eugene Peterson, the great pastor and Bible teacher, who paraphrased the Bible into the Message, has written a commentary on these Psalms of Ascent, these pilgrim psalms. I've quoted often the title he gives to his book, Along Obedience in the Same Direction. I love that description of Christian discipleship, of our life of faith, of what Paul describes in the letter to the Philippians as pressing on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, a long obedience in the same direction. So as the people of Israel made their way on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they sang, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in his ways." Blessed. So let's remind ourselves what we've been saying over the past few weeks about blessing. And firstly, we remember what Martin said a few weeks ago, that blessing is not the same as happiness, which depends on circumstances, but blessing is about something much deeper. Martin described it as that deep down place in our spirits where, despite what is going on in our circumstances, despite our immediate situation, despite the mess of the world, still I know that God has me in his grasp, that God's embrace holds me tightly, and that God's love for me will never, ever be diminished. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. People long for that deep down sense of peace and security, and they try many ways of finding it. Some people try to find it in alcohol or drugs or a number of relationships, and find instead that these things just end in misery. Many people think that plenty money, fame, a really comfortable lifestyle, a loving family, a high-powered job will do it. But none of these things fills the empty hole inside us. Way back in the first half of the first century, St. Augustine, whose writings influenced all of Western Christianity, said, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find you." There is a longing in our hearts for something more, something beyond ourselves. Intuitively, we know that we need something to complete our broken hearts, minds, and spirits. Augustine rightly points out that our completion is not found in wealth, romance, learning, nor anything else that the culture of this world tells us will make us deep down happy, but only in knowing the one who created us. The psalmist says that here is where we find that true, deep down soul blessedness in fearing the Lord and walking in his ways. In the message, the psalm begins, "All you who fear the Lord, how blessed you are. Enjoy the blessing. Revel in the goodness." And it ends the psalm with, "Oh, how blessed is the one who fears God." The psalm begins and ends with these promises of blessing. And in between, in the center of the psalm, we read this. "You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots round your table." So there's a couple of things we need to tease out of these verses. And firstly is the word that the NIV translates prosperity. Prosperity will be yours. This is not about being rich. This is not about wealth or material prosperity. This is not the prosperity gospel that is prevalent among some American Christians in particular and promoted by some televangelists. The teaching that financial blessing is always the will of God and that faith, positive speech, and donations of money will make you materially wealthy. Back in 2006, a Times poll found that 61% of American Christians agreed with the idea that God wants you to be materially prosperous. I suspect that proportion might be higher today. How they reconcile that with the faithful, committed lives of their brothers and sisters in the poorest parts of the world is a mystery to me. But that isn't what this is about. This is not materialism. The Hebrew word that is here translated prosperity is like the word shalom, meaning peace and wholeness. Here in this translation, it says, "It shall be well with you." And here are references to two things that the psalmist says are part of the blessing and goodness that God gives us to enjoy: work and family. "You will eat the fruit of your labor." Or as the message puts it, "You worked hard and deserved all you've got coming." Work is one of the ways in which God blesses us. It's a way we find fulfillment, a way we contribute to society and find personal satisfaction. And family. I know that for many of you, that is God's greatest blessing. And not just a husband or wife and children, but the psalmist prays, "May you live to see your children's children." And I know that grandchildren are a huge blessing to many of you, one of the very special gifts of God. But of course, this somewhat idyllic picture of work and family life isn't the reality for everyone. It's actually just an illustration. And it's this particular illustration, because of the Hebrew culture, where the standard signs of happiness and fulfillment were a wife and many children who gathered round the table to eat the fruit of labour. The illustration is not exclusive. Of course, it doesn't mean that those of us who don't have family are not blessed. But it does describe what was ordinary life for the people of Israel. And it describes what is ordinary life for many people today, for many of you. People who work or have worked and who know the joy of not only children, but also grandchildren. But for those of us whose ordinary life is different from that, of course we still know the blessedness of God in the life that he has given us to lead. It does sound an idyllic picture, but we know that life is not always perfect. We know that work can sometimes be really difficult and stressful, and that many difficult situations can arise. We know that families can create problems, can be dysfunctional, that family members can cause pain and anxiety. And I don't for a moment expect that all the Israelites who sang this psalm had perfect families. Nor was the world around them perfect. It's thought that this psalm wasn't written at a time when everything was calm and peaceful and going well in the nation, but that it might have been written after the Israelites had returned back from exile, at a time when life was pretty hard, a time when they faced many challenges. Taxation imposed by the Persians, tensions between those returning from exile and those who had remained in the land, crop failure, famine, and poverty. But as we've seen, blessing is about something that is much, much deeper than the happiness that depends on circumstances. I love the song that we sing quite often because I choose it quite often, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." And I particularly love the verse that says this: "The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour, he will stay. I labour on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me, through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me." That's blessedness. And the people who sang this psalm understood that fearing the Lord and walking in his ways would bring that blessing, that security of knowing that the Lord is our rock and our Redeemer, that fullness of life and deep down peace in the simple things that made up their lives. Our lives may be similar. They may be orientated around work and our family, or our lives may be very different from the illustration that is given here, but the principle is the same. The blessings of God come to us as we fear him and live our ordinary lives, walking day by day in his ways. And so let's pause there and let's stay seated as we sing, "The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. And let's sing that as a prayer. Eugene Peterson says this: there are no tricks involved in getting in on this life of blessing, and no luck required. We simply become Christians and begin the life of faith. We acknowledge God as our maker and lover, and accept Christ as the means by which we can be in living relationship with God. We accept the announced and proclaimed truth that God is at the centre of our existence. Find out how he has constructed this world, how he has provided for our redemption, and proceed to walk in that way. We walk on his smooth, straight road, he says. Not only do we let God be God as he really is, but we start doing the things for which he made us. We take a certain route. We follow certain directions. We do specified things. There are ethical standards to follow. There are moral values to foster. There are spiritual disciplines to practice. There is social justice to pursue. There are personal relationships to develop. None of it, he says, is difficult to understand. Well, of course, we don't do any of this perfectly because we are sinners. But we have a Saviour who has died that we might be forgiven and restored and able to get back on the path and keep walking again every time we fail. We walk in the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean we should be afraid of him. That would be completely inconsistent with knowing him as our loving Heavenly Father. It means reverence and awe. Do we recognize that God is majestic and holy, vast and wondrous? Or do we sometimes try to make him into something a little bit tamer? Somebody our little minds can cope with better. We sang at the start of our service, "O worship the King, all glorious above." Acknowledging the overwhelming grandeur and splendor of God should cause us to worship him as the Almighty King and Lord. Bring us to see him as he really is, and to listen to him as he speaks his merciful, life-changing words of love and forgiveness to us. In Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is described as the beginning of wisdom. We begin to have wisdom when we see the greatness and splendor and the mercy and grace of God. Fear the Lord and walk in his ways. We're called to a life of obedience. The greatest visible evidence of the fear of God is obedience to him. God wants to bless us. It doesn't take a great deal of reading of the Bible to grasp that fact. He has our greatest good in mind. He has set out a way for us to live. And when we live in his ways, we find we are living in the way that he has always intended we should. And that is how we find deep soul blessedness and fullness of life. One commentator says that the psalmist knows that those who are walking on the pathway of obedience to God, those who seek to order their lives rightly after the ways of God and in the fear of God, will see the world differently. They will realize that the goal of life is not to earn divine blessing, as so many people seem to think, but to receive the simple elements of daily life as divine blessing, as an assurance that life is indeed filled with the peace and wholeness that comes from the knowledge that God is our rock and fortress, a God who will always be with us and care for us throughout all that happens in our lives. Blessedness. It doesn't mean that life will always be easy. We know from experience that is not the case. But it does mean that whatever is happening to us, whatever circumstances we have to cope with, we can still know that deep down blessing of God that is deeper and more real than anything else. Our society is fixated with finding happiness. It's fixated with self-fulfillment. But here in this psalm is ordinary life, lived in the acknowledgement that God is God, almighty, all-powerful, the King whose rule and reign will increase until every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A life lived in acknowledgement that our God is an awesome God, and a life walking in obedience to his ways. There's a verse in Romans 12 that in the Message is translated this way: take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So whatever your ordinary life is like, here is where blessing comes: in fearing the Lord and walking in his ways, in giving him the praise and glory due to his holy name, in knowing that respect and awe for the mighty God who is also your heavenly Father, and in walking that long obedience in the same direction. Amen.